Hey guys, this is Laura Vandervoort. I played Kara Kent / Supergirl on Smallville, and you are listening to Always Hold On to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. On this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and we're back for another level 33.1, number 13, by my calculation. And we have five level 33.1 members with us tonight. We have Mr. Chris Fuchs.
Hello, hello.
We have Mr. Dallas Hernandez.
Hola.
We have Mr. Casey Cochran.
Buenas noches.
And returning member, Mr. Lex Ledger.
Thank you.
And first time member of the Level 33.1 Roundtable, we have Mr. Joey Deanberg. What's up, Joey?
Hey, how's it going?
Great. And I see you have your blue shirt, red jacket back there.
Yeah, you got to have it. You know, when I was in high school, I was kind of looking at it online, and I didn't want to spend $100 on it, and then it just kind of showed up at Christmas time, so...
Do you have a red shirt blue jacket, though? That means you're a true fan.
I do not. I was trying to get that, but then, you know, at that point, we're already married, and she doesn't want me spending the money on it.
There you go. Fair enough. Get all that stuff now while you still can, everyone. Yep.
You know, I have the bottom half of what Tom Welling was wearing on set when you would see him from the top.
That's an inside cut from the panel.
Shorts and flip-flops.
There it is. Tying it all together. That's right, Casey. So, a few topics to talk about. On this level 3.1, we're recording this the same day that the Smallville 20th anniversary roundtable was.
No,
yeah, they call it. No. I agree with y'all. They called it the 20th, like 20 years of fandom, right? The 20th anniversary, but Smallville's only been around for 19 years, so that is
well. We know better than them. So
this is the same crap they pull with the presidential election. It's not 2018. That's so on brand that they can't figure this out. What? Hey, Joey, it's your first time. Tell us a little bit about your Smallville fandom, man. What are you all about? What brought you to the show and to the podcast, if you don't mind? Because I love hearing that part.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I was 10 years old or so, I was getting my first personal TV for my bedroom and a DVD player with it. And I was like, oh, Smallville. I'm a big Superman fan. So I just picked up the first season and then I just started binging it, and eventually it took me a few years to get all the seasons, because you know when you're 10, 11 years old, you don't make a lot of money. And then I finally got caught up, and I was kind of watching simultaneously until like around season 7, and then I watched everything live from there. And then
Stayed with it.
Yeah, I did. I did. I will say, though, I very much identified with your story about season 9 just sitting in the DVR because I was so upset about season 8. And then I finally watched it and caught back up. And so I finished, Smallville ended about my senior year of high school. And from there, I now work a nice government job with a lot of, where I have spent a lot of time with my headphones. And I just searched Smallville, years popped up, listened to the first, probably up through season 4 in about a few months or so, and then
I thought he was gonna say a week.
Me too. That's what I thought he was going with it.
He does some work at his job. Okay,
I listen to a lot of sports radio. So during during football season, it's primarily I'm listening to 670 The Score. So
once again, calling back to what Cavante called on our first roundtable, that Zach, your podcast is great for people with boring jobs.
Well, we try to keep it entertaining, so I'm glad you enjoyed it, and I'm glad you're here. It's funny. So every now and then, I rarely go back and listen to. I forgot what Lance and I said when we talked about Metamorphosis. Let me go back and listen to that. Right. So it's interesting because we're like, hi, I'm Zach, and it's just a totally different like vibe to it than it is now. So
you know, it's kind of funny. Early on, your voice changed like from. It was a little bit deeper at the beginning of the show, and then as you went through the show, it would just sound more like it does now. But every time when you started it, you were intentionally making your voice sound a little bit
different. Well, I think I was trying to sound more professional Right. We're doing a podcast now, y'all. This is serious business. So
I will say, when we first logged on to here, I was like, why is he talking so slow? But I listen to my podcast at like times 1.5 speed.
Oh, so that's how we got through so many.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but he,
so I sound like this all the time on the podcast. Oh my God. Yeah, oh, I mean,
that's about
you
right.
You can sound like that normal sometimes. You get excited about something.
I can't.
I think the best encapsulation of you changing your voice was when you did the Superboy April Fool's episode.
Oh God, that was terrible. Well, what did I do? I haven't re-listened to that one. Well, what did I do in that?
It was just like super deep, super slow.
Was it?
And this is the Superboy. I'm not going to lie. I didn't listen to the whole thing. I listened to like the first 5 minutes.
It's like, oh, that's like a fun gag. Oh, he's really going to talk about the whole episode.
Dallas, you made it longer than I did.
I got to go try it. And honestly, though, my reasoning at the time was I do intend at some point I want to go back and watch the original Superboy series.
Good luck.
I've never seen it. Thanks.
I use it at the gym sometimes, just like it's something to watch, and I'm like, this is because like I'm not gonna spend my actual time watching the show. So like, if I'm just on the elliptical, I'll be like, all right, let's watch this. And oh my God, it's terrible. I mean,
is it that bad?
It's terrible. Lex, have you seen Superboy at all?
No.
Don't do it.
I've seen clips here and there, and it just doesn't interest.
You've seen all you need to, but I mean, one day I do want to have said like, yes, I've seen every single piece of Superman media. So one day I will watch that. But God, it is a struggle, y'all. So
I didn't even know about it till maybe around the time Superman Returns came out. The first time I know that I heard about it was on that Look in the Sky, The Adventures of Superman, or whatever it was,
the documentary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's all connected, though, because he was on Crisis on Infinite Earths when Betsy Tulica sit over the dead Superman in one of the Earths that was the actor from Superboy.
Okay, is that... I heard that was a rumor. Is that real?
Oh, someone, I don't know.
You someone fact check
Tyler
that.
Hecklin.
Yeah, I might have fallen for the rumor.
I heard people were trying to think that would have been a great. That would
I feel
been
like if they
cameo.
Were doing that as a cameo, you would know.
Yeah, I think people were trying to say maybe it's them, but I don't think it was. But I remember Joey. I remember people talking about that like it was the case. But that and see, that's a big missed opportunity. As much as we're shitting on Superboy right now, I think that Gerard Christopher should have been Jor-El on Smallville, and Stacey Heideck, who played Lana Lang, should have been Lara on Smallville. That would have been great. I mean, I love
they had
Helen
two
Slater,
Superboys.
But, well, yeah, but well, Joms Haynes Newton was the first one, and Gerard Christopher was the second one.
Yeah, and okay. You want your ultimate, it's all connected.
Please.
It's well documented, my feelings, on the crap movie that is Joaquin Phoenix's Joker. But he was on Superboy.
Yes, he was. In a Superboy costume.
Oh, really?
Joaquin Phoenix is one of Superman costume. Tom Welling is not. Think about that. Think about that.
Well, just Ben Affleck.
Mm. Yeah, Ben Affleck.
He sleeps with Martha Kent in a movie where he is playing George Reeves, who is playing Superman.
He wore the suit more than Welling did.
He did.
I think I've brought this up before, but what's y'all's opinion, George Reeves? Murder or suicide?
I love conspiracy theories. I definitely think that was a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
You know, he got caught up in that whole web of like the mob and Hollywood at the time and dating you know, getting with a mobster's wife. Like, come on, George.
Wanders upstairs. All of a sudden there's a gunshot.
The only thing I know about George Reeves' death, well, I don't really know much about his death. I just know that after the Adventures of Superman show stopped, the only job he could get was maybe once or twice guest starring as Superman on I Love Lucy.
But and the other thing though, they had signed on for a seventh season, and like I've heard like Noel Neal say that he was in great spirits, so excited for
it. Yeah, Jack Larson said the same stuff. Jack Larson, who played Jimmy Olsen on the show, and Noel Neal played Lois Lane, they're both like, no, George was ready to come back and excited for it. So because they were going to make another, as you said, they're going to make another season. But, and they even, I remember Jack Larson saying, like, even after he died, they were talking about doing like a Jimmy Olsen show.
Well, and then they have an unfilmed pilot of Adventures of Super Pup, and it's Bark Bent and
on the same sets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As that show. Just, that, now that's, again, One day I'll watch it, but it's another thing that I know exists. But anyway.
It's not out there. It's one of those things Warner Brothers is holding on to.
Is it?
They only had clips on the Look Up in the Sky documentary.
Oh, you know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of that Superboy pilot from the 60s, which was another thing. I think it was like 60, 61. They're like, oh, we can't do Adventure Superman anymore. Let's do something else. So,
well, and I still can't. They actively said the reason they were going for the giant dog people was so that it was actor proof. And that if another lead died, they could just switch it in and learn a new head.
Hollywood at its finest, right? So, oh my gosh. So.
I remember after seeing that movie with Ben Affleck, I kind of went like for like hours into like a deep dive with my phone. Into the conspiracy. I have no idea why, because at the end, it's not like I knew the answer or anything. But
that was actually my intro to Superman. My dad recorded a bunch of the Nick at Night reruns.
Yeah.
And I had a VHS tape with about 10, 11 episodes, and I would just watch that over and over, and then they introduced me to Christopher Reeve, and just
that was my intro too when I was a kid. Is I spent the night at a cousin's house, and like late night TV was on, and they had the old Superman reruns, and you had like where they're acting, and then you have the cartoon that flies in the air. And I don't think that's the George Reeves ones, but
no, that was the serials. That was Kirk Allen. Yeah. That was right before George Reeves, and Noel Neal was in those as Lois Lane.
Yeah,
so yeah,
that was Phyllis Coates, right?
Now, Phyllis Coates was season one of Adventures of Superman.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But Noelle Neal was the original Lois Lane from the serial, and they brought her in season two. I actually think I like Phyllis Coates better as Noelle Neal. I mean, that's a hot take. I don't know. I think they're both good as Lois Lane, but recasting, right? But no, I watched a lot of George Reeves, and I was a little kid on Nick at Night as well. So,
did you guys ever watch the Fleischer cartoons at all? That's the first thing I watched for Superman.
Those were great, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
My grandpa had them, so it was like a VHS, and
I if there's one thing I've gotten as a and listeners, I know people send me stuff, right?
It's like, I really was just gonna say, haven't you complained about this before?
It's like I love them, and I love the thought, and like friends, family, like I get that more than anything else, because it's like, oh hey, I thought of you, and I saw this at the store. Have you seen these? Oh wow, thanks. Yeah, I have them like five times over, but I get.
Stop telling in people fact, not to give it to you, because now you have more giveaway things.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. Please keep it. Do you guys want these? Because keep sending it my way. So anyway.
I've had coworkers just show up and be like, I saw this Superman flashlight, and I just wanted to get it for you.
I'm like, well, why do you guys think I have all these giveaways? Okay? I mean, this is what happens. Again, I love the stuff. I appreciate the thought. Like, and I enjoy having them. It's like, look, I would just keep it in a box or on a shelf forever. But why not? It's easier to give them away. But like, I know y'all will appreciate them, all the listeners out there. And you know, so anyway,
I appreciate it very much, Zach. Now, I've never had a Superman ornament before.
Now you have it. You're welcome.
I have a Superman laser pointer that like you shine on the wall and it puts a Superman S on the wall. Like,
oh, nice.
I remember that.
Well, like that's
I've
great.
I've got the Batman one.
That's great, and it's a cool gift. Now, what am I gonna do with that? Shine it on the wall once or twice, and then it goes in the drawer.
When you need help, you shine it in the window. Someone will come. So. Oh man! But anyway, they had a panel today. So Casey, who was there?
It was Tom Welling, Michael Rosenbaum, Sam Witwer, and Laura Vandervoort.
All right, very good, very good. Because Laura Vandervoort and Sam Witwer were integral parts of all 10 years of Smallville. I love both of them. I love both of them. It's just funny that it's like we're going to celebrate 2001. I'm like, when did you guys show up? 2008.
Michael Rosenbaum directly called out Sam Witwer. They're asking if anybody took any set pieces, and Michael is just like, "No, you were only there for 1 year. You got to be there for at least 4 years to take something."
So, who all got a chance to watch the panel?
I did.
I watched about half of it.
Speaking of set pieces, Michael Rosenbaum, he showed like three different things. One was a champagne glass with the Luther Corp logo. Another was the crystal that Clark used to throw into the snow to build the fortress, and I can't remember what the third
one was. The
other
was the thing he would use to open up that security room.
Oh, is the panic room.
Oh, yeah, the little remote button. The little remote.
Okay. I think the most shocking part of that is that Tom Welling knew that that blue crystal created the fortress.
Wow, he knew what that was?
Yeah, he knew.
You know what's funny about Tom Welling? The more he does these, he actually has knowledge of the show. Like, perhaps maybe just because he was there for so long, or he became an executive producer, so he's involved behind the scenes. Or I don't know, because like you, it would shock me that he knows like the names of episodes and stuff like that.
No, he referenced one like specifically by title. He said Hothead, and he talked about Hothead.
Amazing.
Oh, it all ties together because the thing I have that ties into everything else has to do with Hothead.
Oh, great.
Very good. I can't just drop that on us whenever you want, Dallas. When the time arises, I know you will pull the trigger on that. Even teasing us about that from before we started recording here. I didn't really get a chance to watch the panel. I did read the articles about it. So I'm going to, I always watch these panels and share them on the social media when I get a chance to, even though I don't watch them live and stuff. So there's so many conventions now. Like almost every weekend there seems to be some kind of Smallville panel, which is great because for years there was nothing. Right. There was like nothing. Like, but I think the huge thing is that Tom Welling and Michael Rosenbaum are both there and they're kind of headlining these things.
Well, so. And we have nobody else to thank but Michael Rosenbaum for pulling Tom Welling into that kind of world.
It's almost enough to forgive him for not showing up in Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Did anyone see Michael Rosenbaum's post with the bald head on Instagram?
That was creepy.
Yeah, I did.
And like, so if they ever get him back as Lex, just put that filter on and he won't have to shave his head or wear a bald cap. No, but you know, Casey, those props you mentioned makes total sense for him to have like the remote control for his panic room and like a Luther Corp glass. Why does he have the crystal for the fortress? That makes no sense.
He wouldn't have used that in the last episode of season 7, would it? Like, because that it created the fortress.
No, it was the Veritas globe thing that he had.
Yeah, yeah.
Story wise, it might have made sense for him to get a hold of that crystal, but for Michael Rosenbaum to have it, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, Lex was after all the stones the entire season, so once they got put together, he had to bring it home.
Right, he finally got them.
If I were Lex, I'd be like, "Hey, what happened to those stones that I had? Like, no one brings that in season 5." But so Dallas, did you just look at the video of Rosenbaum with the bald head?
Yeah,
it looks much like yourself filter. Right now.
Yeah,
it does.
So the thing is, right, a reason that I don't like immediately rush to watch these Smallville panels, to be honest with y'all, is like I've read and watched so many things about, I'm like, what new is going to be there? So were there some new stories? Please share with me.
There was one new story. Michael Rosenbaum shared how he got the part of Smallville.
Oh, that was intense.
Yeah, he said that before he actually got the part, he had a dream that his grandma died. Then he went to see his grandma, told her about the dream. And I can't remember if he'd auditioned yet or not.
Yeah, he had. He was waiting to hear back.
Okay, so yeah, he was waiting to hear back. And his grandma said, in a New York accent, said, "You're going to get this one," when he said that she usually wouldn't say that kind of thing. And then I think like a week later, his grandma died, and he got the part. I don't remember which order it was, but
she died, and he was in New York. Like, they were doing the funeral. He's with his family in New York, and that's when he got the call that he got Smallville.
Wow.
There you go.
Cool. I mean, not cool, but, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah, and, like, even Tom had said he'd never heard that story. He almost was a little broken up about it.
That's heavy stuff, yeah. Rosenbaum, you know, he's always been very close to his grandparents. Like, you know, his grandpa was one of his best friends, and he was, you know, spending a lot of time with his grandpa then in his life when they did call and ask him to be in Crisis. And so, you know, I make my jokes and stuff about, like, hey, he should have been in Crisis. I don't know, right? It's complicated, right? That's interesting to hear, though, about Rosenbaum. It's that even Tom Welling hadn't heard that, so obviously that's new stuff. Are there any other highlights, then, or interesting stuff to mention from the panel?
My number one highlight was just that when they asked if what superpower you would have, Tom just said flying and had a little smirk on his face.
Tom, he knows. Tom. And no, I did see a quote from him about how he was like, when he got cast, he told his mom he's Clark Kent. Like, oh, you're Superman. He's like, no, I'm Clark Kent. And he's like, and it's still like that today. I'm like, I'm not Superman, I'm Clark Kent. So it's very meta, huh?
Yeah, he told that story again, too.
Yeah, I read that one, too. Yeah, he's very adamant that he is not Superman.
But that doesn't bother me. Like, it's part of his identity at this point. You know, the thing with, like, the series finale, right? And, like, you know, I tweeted that thing out with, like, how it started, how it ended, right? And most people really like it. Other people are like, I like the ending of real Smallville. I'm like, all right. But I'm as y'all know, have heard me for years before that happened on the podcast. I was like, I want to see Tom Welling in a Superman suit, da 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 da. And we didn't get it. But I'm like, okay, that's fine. Like, I think they did it well, and I think that is, like, to me, like, him not in a costume is now just like part of the thing at this point, right?
Part of the mythos.
Yeah.
No flights, no tights.
I guess it would almost ruin it if he actually finally did wear the suit.
At this point,
I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah.
I would
I would still love to see him show up at like a Comic-Con in like a cheap Party City Superman suit.
I think he'll do that at some point. I think he keeps doing these conventions. Someday he's going to show up in some crappy Superman suit.
Well, you know, at least we did get the scene muscles. Where he was opening his shirt.
The fake muscles is key. Like the one that Joey wears on Friends. Yeah, that's what we're looking for. That's what I'm looking for.
I did like the interesting episode idea that they were talking about in it, about switching Clark's powers go to Lex, and then they said Lex's brains, like his intelligence, would go to Tom Welling, which I'm not, that's a little bit different, but still, I thought that was kind of interesting. That would have been cool to see Lex with their powers.
Yeah, so one article is apparently people have really latched onto it, and it's like making the rounds on the 24/7 entertainment news cycle that we have. It's like, Michael Rosenbaum and Tom Welling had a pitch for a small episode that never happened. I'm like, all right. It sounds kind of like Transference to me, where like they'd switch
it's
bodies.
Similar.
So what do you guys think about that?
Well, like the question in the panel was, what was something that they wish they could have seen happen to their character, like a direction that they want their character to go in, or something that they could have done that they didn't get to do? And that's where Rosenbaum went with it.
They kind of did that, those ideas, just kind of separately, though. You know, with Eric Summers getting Clark's powers, and then with Chloe having Brainiac in her brain, making her super smart, so...
Well, and even Lex with Lionel, I mean, he had the switch with Lionel, too, yeah. So it kind of had a Luther, at least.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. like having it with Lionel, I think, is smarter than having it with Lex, because it's just so like, oh, we'll just have the main two guys switch the blah, 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 so... I don't know. Because Transference is a great episode, it feels redundant to do it again. And then, of course, you gotta erase everybody's mind.
Of course, you've got to. Although I wonder if they knew they were going to erase Lex's mind at the very end anyways, they probably maybe wouldn't have multiple times.
Have him know all this stuff and have people be mad about it for like 4 seasons. Like, he's not supposed to know! And then erase his mind at the end.
Okay.
There had to be something something they just did at the end to kind of like tie it into the comic so that they can have it be legitimate Lex and Superman.
For some reason. Oh, we have to tie it in. Like,
it's almost
what?
Like having Jimmy be everybody's age and everybody getting upset about Jimmy being everybody's age.
Like, yeah, we got you, bro. Let's kill him off. We had it all planned.
The Lex mind wipe is my least favorite.
To bring up the finale, of course, because I know you're contractually obligated to bring it up in every episode. Is that going to count as knockout to keep Clark secret? It's not really a knockout.
But that's exactly what it is
amnesia
to
count.
Keep Clark
but it's an
secret.
Amnesia count. That's what the amnesia is for.
She specifically says okay. Clark that's saved right. her, so she's... I don't know.
It's the end-all, be-all for amnesia.
Yeah, I think it's just an amnesia count.
He probably passed out when he had those dreams, so...
Yeah.
LexCorp.
That was cool. I actually like that moment.
I did, too.
I like it, but let's think about it. Like... Is it called LexCorp because all those letters fell off the sign? Or is it called LexCorp because he changed it to Lex?
It's because the letters fell off the sign.
Yep. And then he got the idea.
I 100% believe
LexCorp. I actually kind of like the LexCorp. But you know what he tells Lionel before he kills him? He's like, no one will even remember your name, right? He throws him out the window. That's like, oh, he's going to change LuthorCorp to LexCorp. But, and we'll get to see that one day, but we didn't.
But he forgot he said that because of the mind wipe.
That's what, there you go.
But we did already see LexCorp, remember, on the garage door?
Season two.
Another interesting thing from the panel, and I'm not sure if they do this frequently or not, they kind of threw some shade at one of the directors that they had frequently.
Which one?
James Marshall.
Oh, they didn't say who it was.
No, they did. It was James Marshall.
Oh, okay.
I thought they liked Marshall.
He was one of the good ones.
So Rosenbaum explained it like it's kind of like a love-hate relationship because he would really push them and like he'd really get to their buttons, and he was one of the directors that liked to do like a lot of takes.
Oh, okay.
But then Sam Witwer told a story about how they wanted him to shave his chest for that shower scene where he's washing all the blood off. Somebody else's blood. And I guess he kind of got berated while he was naked on set by Marshall. So they wanted him to shave his chest for that scene. He said, okay, we can talk about it. And then they broke for a week and he came back and he's doing the scene. And a couple producers came in and they're both like, oh, you don't need to shave your chest. You don't have any Tom Selleck going on there. You're fine.
Tom Selleck.
Yeah, he said he referenced Tom Selleck and Sean Connery.
Right.
And then the third producer that came in was, I guess it was Marshall, and he's like, I thought you were going to shave your chest. And he's like, no, I said, we talk about it. He's like, no, you said you were going to shave your chest. And he's like, he's like, I was standing there naked on set, and he's berating me, so I told him, you're going to apologize to me right now in front of everybody, and then I'll go shave my chest.
He left on, like, not the best terms either, as I understand. Like, I know I read this somewhere. But he didn't like how the character Davis ended.
He said that.
He mentioned that today, too, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He mentioned today that he was upset about it, and then he talked about, too, like, he didn't like that he had to kill off Aaron Ashmore's character because they were friends.
But it was all part of the plan. I mean,
all
was...
part of the plan. Harry James! That's the thing, too. Like, and they were going to make Sam Witwer come back as Zod in season 9. Like, there was discussion about that at some point. There's even production art. There's, like, a mock-up of Sam Witwer with a goatee, like, in, like, a Smallville behind-the-scenes thing on somebody's desk. But I'm glad they didn't do that, because I really like Callum Blue as Zod, and also that feels so, like, let's recycle actors. I'm like, no, no. Because remember in season 8, Feyora, she's like, you look just like your father. I'm like, no, don't do it. But remember, people were telling Tom Welling's Clark that he looked just like Jor-El, and we all know that's not the case. So, anyway.
They already did recycle a handful of actors in multiple roles, but they were like guest spots or minor spots.
Yeah, that's different.
It would have been horrible, like that one girl, I think, that was if they would have been a series regular and they recycled an actor.
No, Smallville never took
one. What about
one
that
bit?
One girl that was just at the panel? That one girl that was just at the last Smallville panel, who was in like 3 episodes as 3 different people.
Oh, we talked about it on Twitter. I was like, who was that?
Yeah.
I didn't know who that was. So the comparison I would have made to, like, if they had killed, I mean, obviously they killed Davis and they brought Sam Witwer back as Zod, that would be equivalent to if they actually killed Chloe in season 3 and then brought back Allison Mack as Lois Lane in season 4. Like, that would be, like, you can't do that. But, well, you look like your cousin.
Well, one thing I've learned with being on set, because I have a friend who was on Arrow and then on it again. So I found out through, you know, people I know, you have to have a 4-year gap before you're on the show again. But after 4 years, you can go back on. So if you go back and it should, I mean, unless it's changed since, you know, 20 years ago. But at least now, I believe it's about 4 years.
We'll keep an eye out for that when these returning guest stars keep popping up. The thing in Canada is, like, there's so many shows too. Like, I watched, you know, The X-Files, Smallville, The Flash. Like, I'm like, I see the same guy. Like, Principal Quad is on all those shows. You know? So
there's only so many of us here.
That makes sense, because the two off the top of my head I can think of, I believe one, his name is Mackenzie Gray, and he was on the episode Cyborg. Then he came back as the older cloned Flash.
5 years later. Yeah, season 10.
And then also the guy from the Hothead episode.
Oh, yeah, he was Dan Turpin in season 8.
Yeah, he was the cop.
All right, Dallas ready to drop his knowledge.
Talk about a segue, Dallas.
All right, here's your segue. Okay, so Coach Arnold is played by Dan Lauria, who, are y'all familiar with Shameless?
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
Never watched it.
Oh, wait. Cassidy Freeman's in that, right?
Yes.
Okay.
She's in it, too.
Hashtag it's all connected.
I'm going to connect this to Star Trek for
Dallas is pointing at some journal he has, y'all, so I'm very excited to see.
I wrote this.
He brings
out.
That every week that we do this.
I do.
By the way, Dan Lauria was also the balloon-making judge on Boy Meets World.
He was. Yes, he was.
Wow, Boy Meets World. That's going back.
It's all connected.
He was on all that. Right. He was on that baseball show. With the female pitcher.
Pitch? Oh, what was it called?
Pitch, right?
Was it really called
Pitch?
Oh, yeah,
it was called Pitch.
Was
I
it?
I liked that show, but that's another conversation.
I have that on my Hulu queue. It's probably gone by now. It's been sitting
there
forever.
There's only 10 episodes. Just go watch.
Oh, wow. Okay, thanks. If there was ever a baseball episode of Smallville, it would be called Pitch. Okay, there you go. Dallas.
It sort of was, though, with Zachary Ty Bryan.
Oh, that's right. It would be called Witness. Yeah. You can't search my locker. It's private property. All right. Dallas, what do you got, man? What do you got?
All right. So, Dan Lauria played a character named Mo White on Shameless. Also on Shameless, the character Lip Gallagher is played by Jeremy Allen White, who is married to Addison Timlin, who played Stormy Lilwin in the Odd Thomas movie.
This is like you're playing that, like, 8 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Exactly,
thing.
Exactly. And who played Odd Thomas? Anton Yelchin, who was Chekhov in the Star Trek remakes, who was also in the movie Green Room with Patrick Stewart.
Very good.
So it's all connected.
Very good.
Speaking of things being completely connected, I'm just in season 8. It's what I watch when I go to bed. And it was the bulletproof episode in season 8 where Clark steps in, is investigating as a police. And the name he picks is Joe Fordman.
Oh, wow.
I was blown. It took me a few minutes. I'm like, wait a second. Why is he stealing Whitney's name?
Did you recognize the other actor when you were watching it?
Oh, which?
The other cop. The one he was
No, I didn't.
With.
He's in Man of Steel.
Yeah, he was the one who the coach grabbed the arm and burned his hand. He was the snitch. The one. That
7 years later, though. 7 years later, he could come back.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Clark, he stole Whitney's girl, and then he stole Whitney's name.
Yeah.
So, way to go, Clark.
Yeah, but I mean, Whitney wasn't even.
He turned into a nice guy at the end.
Yeah. Well,
he died for his country.
He grew up.
He went on. He grew up. Flash Gordon.
He was in that war in Indonesia we had in 2002. Y'all, come on.
He grew up.
I still can't believe that Lana twice stays with somebody just because their dad died.
Yeah, that's how it works. See, if Lex had killed Lionel in season 6, Lana would have stayed with Lex. Oh, man, you missed it, Lex.
I don't know. I think that would have made her leave if he killed Lionel.
Oh, man. Something else we did want to talk about is, Lex, you had mentioned this, and apparently it came up in the Smallville panel today to tie it all together, right? Is what superpower you would have if you could have one, right?
You want me to go first on this?
Yeah, it's just a question you have pondered many times, like the kid from Shazam.
Yeah, people always, you want to be like, oh, I want to fly. But then somebody brought it up, and he's kind of a science buff. So he's like, if you can fly, you can probably only fly about as fast as you could run. Because if you go as fast as Superman, but you don't have the super strength, it would just tear you to shreds. Anyways, my answer would be Purple Man's powers, from Marvel Comics. Yes.
Jones, arch nemesis?
Yeah, basically it's basically mind control. But
that sounds like a super villain.
Depends how you use it, okay? Depends how you use it.
All right.
Because in a real world situation, everyone
starts with a code.
I want to know how you could use it and how you can use mind control in a good way.
Hey, in the show they did it. The guy was going to, he had hostages and he's like, put the gun down and leave. Mm-hmm. Boom. There you go. There are ways.
Okay.
Guys, always. I don't want to burst anyone's bubble, but everyone has mind control.
Well, huh? Are you talking about your own mind?
Yes, your own mind.
That's deep, man. I had to think about that first. So.
See, I just made you guys think, so I'm more powerful than you guys are.
There it is. Casey does have the mind control. So, Casey, what would your superpower be if you could choose one?
Well, thinking about the fact that if you could fly, you could only fly about as fast as you could run, then I guess I'd probably go with invisibility.
Hmm. What would you do with that? Another very helpful, altruistic.
See, that one seems more villainous than mine.
So what would you do with this, Casey? Give us an example of how you
remember,
use your invisibility.
Remember, family-friendly podcast.
You know what? Let's just say that flying comes with super speed somehow. Only when you're flying. So that in that case, I would choose flying.
I see. And well, he course corrected on that, didn't he, y'all?
Well, I just literally just now came up with, well, if that's the rule, then invisibility, but I wasn't really thinking about what I would do.
Fair enough. What about you, Joey? What do you got?
You know, I've always defaulted to flying, but I will say I've always kind of thought that there's multiple types of flying. You know, there's like a Superman brute strength, high speed flying.
That's
and
true.
Then, you know, there's the Peter Pan, Peter Pan flew with children, okay. Lois, but
there it is.
I mean, there's more of a levitating
a fairy tale.
Yeah. More of a levitating, just able to, just kind of
almost like gliding.
More so just control where you're heading and, not that brute strength. That's true. But yeah, just kind of a casual flight more so.
Okay.
Just to make things easier on a day-to-day basis.
What about you, Chris?
I don't know if this is just a trend because we all like Superman, but flying would always be my answer as well. Even if you don't have super speed, if you think about it, you still can skip out on traffic and just go up above it and go. But I'll also go a different route. If I could have a power, I would want to have a power like those children books, Animorphs. You could turn into any animal that you want. That'd be pretty cool.
Beast Boy.
You can still fly.
Yeah, Beast Boy.
Fly, and
That, in a way, Chris, that'd kind of be another type of invisibility.
True, you could become a fly on the wall.
Yeah, a literal fly on the wall. Yeah.
Although I used to read those books when I was a kid, and you know, they turn into like ants and stuff, and they'd be in people's houses and around. It's like, if there's an ant in my house, it's not surviving. So I don't know how these guys think they're gonna get away with it.
The covers of those are always my favorite part. I never read them, but yeah. I know people that did. I'm like, oh, look, you turned into a frog. It's so cool. You could flip the page. So that's a good. That's a very smart one because that covers up a lot of. You can fly. You can get in places undetected.
You can be super strong.
Yeah, you turn into a gorilla or something. You know, so
that's true.
Unique answer, man.
All right, Dallas, what do you got, man?
Now, see, I remember a long time ago, I wish I could remember the exact video, but here's my thing against flight, is in a video, somebody brought up flight would actually suck unless you were constantly wearing a parka. Because think about how high you go, it's going to get really cold.
You don't have to go high.
Well, that's true. Honestly, any superpower, I'd probably go Domino. The ability to luck in my favor.
Hopefully you wouldn't have the same effect as that character from The Flash, though.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone else got bad luck around her.
Mm.
The more good luck she got, the bigger the bad luck went.
There's always a price to these powers, right?
There's a episode of Supernatural that's kind of like that, too.
I will say, if I had to change mine, super speed, because you can, super speed inherently comes with a few different things, because, you know, a fast punch is just, you know, almost as equivalent to be, you know, the strength. And my wife has this theory. She is adamant that the Flash can fly because he can, you know, make the tornadoes and things and kind of hover around. So you can kind of get, you know, it's like a 3-for-1 deal. So I, you know,
boy, howdy, do we have 65 years of comic book history yeah. for your wife?
Yeah.
I guess for me, I always, I would go to like invulnerability because it's yeah. like, okay, true. I could just live my life, but just never get hurt.
You yeah.
know? That's cool. But is it like, is it regeneration like Wolverine or is it invulnerability? Like, I don't know. Superman has
because yeah. that would suck if you felt the pain and everything, and then
yeah,
you
like, I don't want to like it hurts yeah. every time. Like I don't want to do that crap, Wolverine.
Well, I think as long as you don't have the retractable claws, you might be okay.
Yeah, yeah, he perhaps. Seemed to get used to it. Wolverine, every time he got hurt, yeah, he kind of seemed to just get used to the
well,
pain.
That was one thing that came with the invulnerability, right?
Yeah, but that is it's regeneration though, not so much because he can't get hurt. But he just regenerates.
Right.
Like in the Wolverine when he's in Nagasaki. Like he, you know, he regenerates, but he gets burned. So.
Yeah, the pain must make you wish you were dead.
Yes.
Right. Or even in the very first X-Men movie when Rogue's like, does it hurt? And he's like, every time.
Yes. So, I you know, and then I can be clumsy and like run into stuff or get in terrible accidents, but still survive. Like, you know, you can take more risks if you're invulnerable, right?
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be afraid about like bungee jumping or skydiving or something or going on an old roller coaster. All that fear has been removed.
You could Who's that guy just running across Beltway 8?
Yeah, exactly. So.
The thing is, though, since Wolverine lives longer than others, how long do you think you could live before you start getting tired of living?
Well, I can finally catch up on all these stupid superhero shows. That keep That's my number one goal. Swamp Thing's on the CW now, by the way. I've recorded that. So.
Oh, I completely forgot.
Is it on HBO Max also, though? Or is it?
Actually, I bet it's on CW, the website. Yeah. So I would check it out. Check
actually,
it out.
Yeah.
I've heard nothing but good things about it. And of course, like all good things, it got canceled after not even a season.
So yeah, it didn't even finish the last two episodes, right? There was only eight
of
them.
No, they canceled it, but they didn't even get the Birds of Prey treatment where they let them come back and finish. They were just like, no, you can't make anymore.
Yeah, it looks like Swamp Thing is on the CW app.
There we go.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
I was just looking it up right
the
now.
The way they usually do it is they keep the most recent 5 episodes. So as long as you're not more than 5 episodes behind, you'll be fine. Or then you have to wait like a year.
If you still have DC Universe, even though they're slowly migrating everything over to HBO Max, it is still on DC Universe.
It kind of makes me wonder what they're going to do with the stuff that's not new. Are they just going? Is it just not going to be available anymore? Like Lois and Clark, I have that on DVD, so I'm not worried about it. But it is a little easier to just use a streaming service.
Yeah, I hope they move everything over.
It is very likely. Some of that stuff just goes away, but I don't know. I mean, they want content, so just bring it over there. Yeah. Like, you own it, so yeah, you might as well. Right. So we'll see.
But, you know, DC, they're weird about stuff like
DC
that.
DC is weird about everything. I can still not figure out what they do. But, hey, look at this segue, y'all. HBO Max, you say. Did you guys see the news about the new Green Lantern show? Now, I know Dallas is a huge Green Lantern fan, even though he's wearing a Superman shirt today. It's fine.
Yeah.
I was looking for my hat for this part. I know I was.
You have busted out Green Lantern stuff before, so I was wondering. But
I know.
You're the Green Lantern guy here. What are your thoughts on this announcement? Long story short, show 10 episodes, HBO Max, one season. The Green Lanterns, we have Alan Scott, Guy Gardner, Jessica Cruz, and Simon Baz. So we'll go around the round table here, but we'll start with Dallas since he's the big GL fan.
I am super excited about this. And as I believe the article that you showed, it said that leaves room for Hal Jordan, John Stewart, and Kyle Rayner, my favorite, all to be in movies that tie in. And from what I understand, this is all going to tie into the DCEU. So it's kind of the same way almost with Legends of Tomorrow. You know, nobody's favorite heroes, so you can't screw it up. It's nobody's favorite lanterns. So you can't screw it up. What I'm most excited about is to see who they cast for Jessica Cruz and Alan Scott. I hope they go. I really am hoping they go with an older Alan Scott, and he's kind of leading this team. The hothead Guy Gardner with Jessica Cruz and Simon Baz kind of showing up, and being like, what the hell's going on? What is this? And Alan Scott kind of walking through. I'm super excited about this. It's, you know, I don't even want to kind of speculate on it because I don't want to get my hopes up in a certain direction and then have it go a completely different way. Mm-hmm. To reference the Smallville finale. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really smart they're going to use those lanterns, because those are the lanterns that they can really toy with and have fun with backstory-wise, that, you know, it's not going to step on too many people's toes. The majority of people who love Green Lantern, who's their favorite lantern? Hal Jordan. Who's the number two Green Lantern? John Stewart. That's mostly because of Justice
League.
Those are
interchangeable, I think, but fair enough.
Right, but with these lanterns, they're definitely not going to step on too many toes. They have a lot of room to have a lot of fun with the series, and I still haven't watched, and I feel so ashamed of myself, I still haven't watched Watchmen.
Oh, the show, the TV show.
The show on HBO. But from what I've seen, I have caught some of it. If they put that kind of budget and writing ability into a Green Lantern show, I think it's going to be great, no matter what. we've talked about this on the podcast. It's very hard to not please me as a DC fanboy. So I think it's going to be really cool. I think those are the perfect lanterns that kind of, like I said, you're not stepping on anyone's toes by playing around with the backstory. And actually, I think it'd be great if they went with the new 52 Earth 2 Alan Scott and made him, you know, a gay character.
Oh, they are doing that. That's part of it. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. So I think it's going to be really cool, as long as they don't make his weakness wood. But I think they've got great bones, and they're not stepping on anyone's toes, and they're still leaving, let's be honest, the three best lanterns to integrate into the movie. And we also have to see the Snyder Cut first.
So. Ryan Reynolds is going to show up. You heard it here first. You didn't hear her first, but you've heard it online. So.
I don't know about Ryan Reynolds, but as gonna much be Ryan as Reynolds, I would bro. Love it. You think? I'd love it.
Very good. Well, I'm glad you're excited for it, Dallas. So being the GL guy.
I am super excited. I'm going to love it no matter what.
Unless Joaquin Phoenix is in it, you're going to love it no matter what.
even then, I might.
He'd be good. He'd be good Sinestro. But anyway. Sinestro standalone movie with Mark Strong. I'll buy it today.
He was the best part in that movie.
By far. Yeah. So Lex, what are your thoughts on this Green Lantern show? You have any skin in this game? Or?
I am a Green Lantern fan. Like, Hal Jordan is my favorite, of course. Even though I grew up on the cartoon with Jon Stewart, they were both great and fairly interchangeable. But like you said, it's kind of having your cake and eating it too, where you can do a show, you don't have anybody's favorites for the most part. So you can kind of do different adventures and then save the A-list Green Lanterns for the movies, if that's what you want to do. So even though none of those Green Lanterns are ones that I know a lot about other than Guy Gardner, I'm still going to watch it because, you know, I still like the comics and maybe the adventures would be good. So,
well, and I think it was interesting too. I mean, they're not ruling out that Jon Stewart and Hal Jordan and Kyle Rayner aren't going to show up.
That's true.
You know,
yeah.
They still have room to show up and make cameos and stuff, but it's not going to be centered around them.
So that's pretty much it. I mean, I'm excited for it too. It's Dallas pretty much nailed it there. So I agree. Yeah.
What about you, Casey?
I just hope it's enjoyable. I'm not really big in the Green Lantern. I'm not wanting to see the movie in theaters when it happened, and it was all right. But it's just not my character.
Fair enough. What about you, Chris? Any thoughts on the Green Lantern show and this news?
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited also. I think that just doing a show about Green Lanterns lends you to a lot of story opportunities that you have, considering they all patrol different sectors. They work together sometimes, and then they work individually. So you could even do, like, each episode highlights a different person or a different area that they're focusing on. I think that'd be cool to see, and then you can contrast the differences in how they as lanterns. For me, I'm excited to see Guy Gardner. He's always been I don't know very much about Green Lantern, so I'm gonna say I enjoyed him. I think, and I'm gonna embarrass myself here because I can't remember which Superman comic he had a run in that I'm thinking of specifically. I want to say, was it Death of Superman where did he fight Doomsday before?
I think it was Guy Gardner, right? Because it was like the budget Justice League, and he was.
I like that he's like the type of he's got the ring still, and he does what he wants to, but he wasn't a part of the core and did his own thing, but he still had the commitment. And he was kind of like an anti-hero type deal. So I like forward to kind of seeing what they do with him.
Cool. What about you, Joey?
Yeah, I'm really excited for it. And more so, I'm excited about everything just being on HBO Max because I feel like it.
Get our money's worth now, man.
Yeah, and it opens everything up to, you know, random person saying, oh, I saw this new show. And, you know, just out, not DC fans, you know, getting to see it. But once I heard the news, a friend and I were kind of debating, like, all right, which Green Lantern is this, or which Earth is this? Is it going to fit into the DCEU? And I remembered at the end of Crisis, they advertised Stargirl and gave that a designate Earth.
Earth 2, yeah.
Yeah, and they also advertised, they showed clips from the Ryan
the movie.
Yeah, and that was Earth 12. I don't know. Did that movie come out in 2012? I don't.
Oh, you're right. It was 2011. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they wanted to show something to tee that up, and they had nothing to show. Yeah. So they showed stock footage of the movie. So
if they're giving it a specific Earth, I'm assuming this will be completely separate from Diggle got his ring, and that's Earth Prime. So, who?
And I am, you know, as weird as they had to twist it, I am totally fine with Diggle being John Diggle Stewart.
100%.
As forced as that was.
Oh, I thought it was great. I thought it was great.
Even Earth 90 Flash says, John, where's your ring? Who knows if that's
exactly.
John? He could very much be just John Stewart on Earth. Yeah.
I
Jay Garrick is John Wesley Shipp on Earth, well, the old Earth, yeah, too. So now we have David Ramsey being the Green Lantern on various Earths.
You know why? Exactly.
And his stepdad was named Stuart.
Exactly.
Winston from Ghostbusters is his stepdad, and it's named Stuart.
I hope that they get David Ramsey, and if he's John Diggle or if he's just alternate Earth John Stewart, I don't care. I'll be happy.
I think he would be great.
Oh yeah,
as John
that was
Stewart.
The best. Like my feeling when I saw the ship crash and him open up the box of the Green Ring and the series finale of Arrow, I'm like, that is the way I wanted to feel in the series finale of Smallville, because I was like, yes,
yeah, because like, no, yep. It is though. You didn't see the suit. You saw he got the powers. He's gonna be the superhero, but you didn't see him be it. It's the same thing.
But the show wasn't called Green Lantern. It was called Arrow, right? You know what I'm saying? So I think because that continues. Well, I'll segue into my thoughts, I guess. So like, first of all, as far as John Diggle on Arrow being the Green Lantern, he needs to be the Green Lantern of the Arrowverse. Like, I hope this news frees them up to allow him to do that. And yeah, does he need to show up all the time? Does he need his own show? No, but he needs. You know, he can always be around. He can pop up in big events. That's one thing that we thought we were going to see maybe in Crisis, but we never did. Like, I want to see a Green Lantern, you know, David Ramsey, John Diggle.
There's a lot of stuff in Crisis we thought we were going to see.
There's a lot of stuff in Crisis we thought we were going to see. So, as long as we can have him do his thing over here, then I'm fine with them doing whatever they want to do on this show. And I think, you know, they do mention, like, okay, hey, that frees up Hal Jordan, Kyle Rayner, and John Stewart. Are they planning things out too much, and is it going to hurt themselves? Because, like, we're going to have a Green Lantern.
Absolutely.
Right, because it's like, we're going to have a Green Lantern movie franchise. Are you? Like, do you really want to, like...
tried that once.
So my thing is, like, lead with your strongest foot forward. And that would be, like, Hal Jordan and John Stewart, like a buddy cop show where they're at, you know... Touring the galaxy? I don't know, right? We're going to see. Because, look, Alan Scott, hot take, he does not belong anywhere near the Green Lantern Corps. Right? He belongs in JSA stuff. Because he was a one-off weird JSA guy. He's got a purple and red suit in a, you know, so he doesn't fit. Like, even the pictures they have of, like, all of them together, I'm like, clearly that guy does not fit. So is he going to be in a normal Green Lantern costume? I don't know. But the thing is, nobody cares about Alan Scott, so they can do whatever they want with him. Right? That's the thing,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
I really like Simon Baz and Jessica Cruz. Simon Baz especially. I thought he was a real interesting character when they brought him on the New 52.
Yeah. You talk about a buddy cop, and that's basically the Jessica Cruz and Simon Baz comics. When they're together, it's a buddy cop.
And what the I don't know how they're going to do the backstory of Jessica Cruz, though, because like that's so deep into comic mythology. Like, she has the green, whatever his name was, ring from Earth 3.
Yeah.
So I'm like, how are you going to put that in there? I don't know, right? Power, I don't know. Power ring, that's what it is, power ring. So she has the green power ring from her three. But you know what? These are new characters who are good characters, so I'm all about bringing them to the forefront.
Is everybody human? Are they all human?
Everyone is human. Now, they say Sinestro is going to be in it, Kilowog is going to be in it. They're not going to be main characters, but they're going to be in it. So Sinestro, man, it's going to be hard to top Mark Strong. Hugo Weaving!
I'm all for that. But that's one thing that kind of confuses me. So are you telling me that Hal Jordan, Alan Scott, Simon Baz, Guy Gardner, John Stewart, Kyle Rayner, and Jessica Cruz are all established Green Lanterns before Sinestro even becomes?
Well, he could be an established
villain.
Yeah, he could have this.
Like, if they want to roll into it with the villain, I'm fine with that, but it just...
Well, yeah, no, that's the problem with them doing it this way, where it's like, had you just done Hal Jordan as a Green Lantern, you have Hal Jordan and Sinestro as season one, Sinestro turns evil in season two, something happens to Hal Jordan, they bring on Jon Stewart, okay? Kyle Rayner, like, it writes itself. It writes itself.
Maybe they'll get Tom Welling, because in the Smallville season 11
comic, he becomes a Green Lantern.
He gets a Green Lantern ring.
Can you imagine if Tom Welling shows up in a Green Lantern costume and not a Superman costume? What a world.
They could CGI it.
Yeah, you won't actually have to wear it.
Perfect. That is the perfect situation. So, of course I'm interested in this. Of course I'm going to watch it. I am disappointed that, I mean, let's face it, like, I know Hal Jordan is, like, the Green Lantern from the, you know, as far as Silver Age, but to everybody our age, John Stewart is, like, Green Lantern. So, like, I mean, Kyle Rayner from Superman the Animated Series, and then, of course, the comics at the time. But I think just in the pop culture, the Justice League
Oh, yeah.
Show, yeah. The cartoon that Justice League Unlimited did so much with that character that, like, he's the first. When you say Green Lantern, I think John Stewart.
Yeah.
That's me.
Story time, as they say on TikTok. When Green Lantern came out, I was super excited, and I was in my senior year of high school, and I went to school decked out in everything that I owned Green Lantern. And in one of my classes, someone noticed and pointed out to me, they were like, isn't Green Lantern black? I'm obviously not African American.
Well, there's your point, right? The general public, exactly. I understand it's for like, we're going to have John Stewart as the Green Lantern, we're going to have Hawkgirl, but that's who they chose to be those characters, and that became the iconic Justice League to, you know, our generation, right?
I'm surprised it wasn't iconic to me, just because when I first got into comics, the first trade I ever read was Green Lantern Rebirth, which brought back Hal Jordan. So for me, that's why he kind of
said it's a
great trade.
Yeah, it is a good trade, yeah.
That makes sense. And then, you know, you look at the one of the most famous comic book runs of all time was Green Arrow, Green Lantern, and that's Hal Jordan and Oliver Queen. You know, and that's a huge misstep with Arrow, where, like, they could never, like, again, it's DC being like, you can't use Hal Jordan. Again, there's a Flash television show. What about this do you guys not understand?
They should have just used him in the flashbacks. Like,
exactly! He could have taught him how to fly! So, or, you know, like a plane, I mean, you know?
They had the jacket.
That's what I was talking about.
Oh, that's true.
That was such a cop
tag.
Out. Like, yeah, oh, we're so going like, to we're going wherever.
Seattle,
and then he gets to the bar, and all of a sudden he's stuck down and put back on Lee and you. He's there 2 minutes.
Oh, gee, this used to be Ferris Air until some test
pilot
went
disappeared.
Missing.
I wonder. Right. See, but to me, it's like okay, that they couldn't do that. So John Diggle, who was Oliver Queen's best friend, became a Green Lantern. So like that continues the mythology, continues the legacy of Arrow, because John Diggle would not be the Green Lantern without his, you know, time with Oliver Queen. So anyway, that's a tangent there. I will say Guy Gardner, somebody who we're not really, I mean, we mentioned him a little bit, kind of a goofy character. Batman's famous for punching him out in one of these, you know, one of these Justice League comics. I have a hot take casting for him. Scott Porter, he played Street on Friday Night Lights. He is a huge nerd. He was actually in one of these, I believe it was Necessary Evil, like the DC Comics villain documentary. He was on there in a Flash shirt talking about stuff. I would love to see him play the Flash or something.
He needs to play a superhero
at some point, right?
I have a take.
Shaved and...
Yeah, I've got a take for someone who could play Guy Gardner. Be the kid from Resurrection.
Oh, the little brother?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know how he looks these days.
He had the bowl cut.
So. It's more than just a bowl cut.
you know, funny thing about Guy Gardner, I didn't even realize he was a Green Lantern, because the first time I realized, but the first time I saw him in a comic book, I was reading The Death of Superman, and he was in that weird Justice League that was trying to fight Doomsday.
Budget Justice League.
The warrior,
yeah,
Guy Gardner.
And I was like, who is this guy? They're calling him Guy.
Who's this guy?
yeah, no pun intended.
Right.
But I was just kind of I'm like, who is he? Because I couldn't figure out like what powers he had, and I don't think he was green. I think
like white.
Oh, he had the yellow ray.
He was like blue and white or something.
So we'll see these guys. I want to see Scott Porter in one of these shows, and I'm like, oh, this is a perfect fit. I would love to see him in it. And he's a good actor too from Friday Night Lights. Check it out. So
I think I've got a good casting for Guy Gardner, and that would be actually, to tie it back to Shameless and Gotham.
Oh, God.
Aaron Monahan.
Yeah, Gotham.
The actor who played Jerome.
I think he would be a really good
Guy Gardner. If you see I don't know, that actor is kind of pushing that now.
I don't know how old these guys are going to be. Who knows? It's all we know is the characters at this point. So I'm curious to see what they do. Like, is it all going to be out of space? Are they going to be anything on Earth?
Is it 2021, 2022?
I think it's supposed to be 2021, but who knows anymore, right?
Probably gonna be
the Batman just got pushed back.
The Batman
probably,
yeah.
Late,
hey,
2022.
Zach, we get This Is Us early.
You know what, the Batman got pushed back and I don't care.
Yeah,
yeah, I don't care either.
I know everyone's so, oh my God, the trailer was so cool. That was a good trailer. You know what? You know what the worst part of that is? Is Robert Pattinson and his stupid bat suit. That's the worst live action bat suit.
I'm confused, because is that supposed to be the Riddler? Because it looks like Hush.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people are saying. I mean, they might have combined them, as they do in movies, you know?
That's stupid.
I hope not.
They shouldn't do that.
No. So, I don't know.
I read somewhere that it was like an early Riddler. Like an early incarnation of Riddler.
It's year two. It's not year one, it's year two.
A worse suit is the Freeze...
That's the one exception.
Yeah,
the Batman and Robin, the Clooney, second suit.
Yeah, the other one in Clooney, in the Clooney one. Ugh.
Right. That. Yeah. Oh, from Gotham. That suit is complete garbage.
You know, I did not watch the Gotham finale.
Oh, you should watch it. Hey, and we talked about it on the Patreon, so go to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S and hear Lance and I talk about the Gotham series finale.
Whenever Ben Grimm shows up, that's where I fell off.
I watched season one.
I watched the first half of the first season of Gotham. I know Dallas is a big proponent of Gotham.
Hey, Dallas said himself he's a big proponent of everything.
Yeah, Dallas likes everything.
Exactly.
The only thing you don't like is Joaquin Phoenix's Joker that made $1 billion and won an Oscar. So, you know.
As Lance Laster once said, just because it won an Oscar doesn't make it good.
Oh, Lance hates Joker. Him and I are going to...
I know.
Him and I have been best friends for like 15 years now. It will end because one, Joker, and two, Flashpoint. Those will be the things that destroy Lance's friendship. So,
well, Flashpoint's not ever going to happen, so...
That's right. Flashpoint, you got pushed back. Damn it, you know, like...
Did Flashpoint get pushed back again? I didn't see that.
Yes, they moved. See, the DC slate got updated, I don't know, a few days ago. They pushed everything forward. Shazam 2 is forward, and what else was there? The Batman is forward. Black Adam now off the schedule.
What, really?
Black Adam's totally off the schedule?
It's still going to happen, but it was going to be like 2023, and now it's like, we don't know. Like, for 10 years, they've been trying to make this.
It was going
to
be 2014, but...
Well, at least now they can blame something other than them not being able to figure the things out. Now, at least now they can blame the pandemic on it.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be the excuse for everything. So.
It kind of makes me wonder, going forward in the CW-verse, the Arrowverse.
Yeah, that's right. We call it the Arrowverse here. Yeah.
Right.
Casey.
Is the pandemic going to have happened?
That's what
are people
so
going to wear?
In that.
Are they going to be wearing masks on the show?
That's genius. Why has no one thought of this? That you can have people wearing masks all the time and just say they're in the middle of the pandemic. So
my wife and I can talk about like all
how
of our...
Please don't.
How
are you telling me, Chris? Are you telling me you wouldn't love Cisco wearing a mask that says "Bazinga"?
Yeah, for like 2 minutes, and then I'd want it to be done.
Oh, that's, you know what? You're right. Here's the thing, right? I love when these things that, you know, that we love, they're moral messages and they comment on things, right? But at the same, honestly, at the end of the day, this is escapism, right? I want to watch this stuff and be like, ah, that was nice. What a better world we can strive for. I don't want to see like COVID happening. We see COVID all day, every day. I don't want to tune into The Flash and see that. So that's a great point, Chris.
I will say, though, that I don't know if anybody watched the Parks and Rec special, but that was incredible. At seeing
that kind of stuff is cool. They do like a one-off, and
we're like, I'm all of those different, like Parks and Rec, The Office, Superstore. My wife and I are just waiting for Superstore to be in the middle of the pandemic, and there's people walking through a retail space
toilet paper
with their mask like on their chin, and it would just be incredible.
Speaking of Superstore, did you see they're going to continue without America Ferrera?
I did. Well, and they didn't close off her story.
I'm really confused.
And, well, they did. Yeah, they never finished her story off.
I could not bring myself to watch Superstore.
It's a really good show.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure it is. Listen, I started to watch the first episode, but I just could not. I could not bring myself to watch it. For one thing, probably the main reason. Because I worked at Walmart for almost 10 years.
Too close to home.
I lived it.
All right.
Yeah,
oh, and that show takes place in a trashy kind of like small urban area surrounded by rural, which is Rockford, Illinois to a T. And it was just incredible. And I couldn't stop laughing.
I completely understand as far as Casey saying it's too close to home, because same thing with me and like 6 feet under, like I can't watch that. I know that sounds weird, but it's true. Like you just can't, when you work at a funeral home, like it is too close to home for certain things. So like, I kind of get it.
Wow. Speaking of masks, looks like Dallas and Joey have the exact same Superman mask.
Oh, nice. So.
There it is,
y'all. I've got all my sports teams.
Yeah, me too.
Represented.
As y'all have seen on my Facebook, I've had an Astros mask on this entire pandemic. So speaking of, what a segue to wrap us up here. So we're all sports fans here to various degrees, some of us more than others.
Do we have to do this?
Yes, we have to mention
We have to mention this. So my Houston Astros and Casey's Tampa Bay Rays are in the American League Championship Series. And we're going to make some kind of bet here on microphone. So what do you have in mind?
Before we get to that, I just want to say that when you mentioned how you reacted at the end of the Arrow finale, that's probably about how I felt last night when...
When full Chapman. Yeah.
Yep. Chapman, when we got that home run to win the game. And that last out, it snuck up on me. I did not expect the
line
last
drive.
Out to be
Whoa, yeah.
One pitch.
You got to take that first pitch, man.
Hey, Cubs World Series champion, Aroldis Chapman.
Oh, that's right. He was on the 2016 Cubs.
Let's talk about gave up four home runs all year or since
he gives them up when they count.
And two of them were to lose playoff Nash games that send the team home.
We're not going to shame you too much, Chris. We love you. But what is the contract for Chapman? Is he longer on the Yankees still, or is this...
Yeah, I don't think it's anything that's up. It's at least another year or two.
Okay, well.
But if anything, you take him.
Being an Astros fan, I would have much rather played the Yankees, Chris, because I want to relive 2017 and do it the right way. So, but here we are. We're playing the Rays. We beat the Rays last year. Were we cheating? I don't know. Who knows?
You had Gerrit Cole.
You had Gerrit Cole. But guess who has Gerrit Cole now? You. And he's at home washing his tights. So. Oh,
the Rays already got one taste of revenge by beating Gerrit Cole yesterday.
Man, Charlie Morton, man. We should have signed him. I'm not looking for it. I would have enjoyed beating Gerrit Cole, and I'm not going to enjoy beating Charlie Morton. So.
If you watch those old Astros games, you can hear them beating on the trash can in the dugout.
I have the World Series on Blu-ray. I haven't watched it again since all this happened, but I want to like listen for that now and see what happens.
Yeah. Did you hear the Rays? They did something to mock the Astros. They destroyed trash cans.
They also celebrated their win yesterday by playing all New York theme songs.
Yep.
Oh man. So, but hey, right? The Astros are playing the Rays. Casey, what would you think would be a good bet to who would win the series? What do you propose?
Well, here's the thing: it can't exactly be equal because I don't have my own podcast.
But you want the podcast?
But the thing I was thinking was, I do the intro to your show for an episode.
Oh, that's great! That's a great idea.
What does that get from you?
Yeah, but what do I get from you?
That's why I messaged you and said, think of something that you might want in return.
Cause... You have to send your giveaway back.
I'll give you another giveaway for free.
Okay.
There we go.
No, that's two things that Casey gets. What do you get?
Well, that's he wants to get rid of it.
Oh, that's yeah, you're right. I want that Superman ornament back if the Astros... The Astros win. Oh man. I don't know. Like $20.
Just give more money. Give me money.
Just contribute to the Patreon. Just keep contributing to the Patreon.
There was another thing I was thinking of, like the worst episode that you have left on the podcast, you let me be on or something, but then I get another thing. So that's the same.
No, I've already called Fortune in season 10.
Well, that's like your favorite. That's all right. You know what? No, that is the fairest thing to do, I think. If the Rays win, you get to be on another episode of the podcast, Casey, in addition to the...
And I get to intro.
Yes, that's correct. There, you have a winner. So for that month of the Patreon, if I win, just put an extra $20 in there.
That'll work.
Right? Perfect. See, you heard it here. It's official. Lex, thank you so much for listening to our sports talk. And we know that you have no sports interest in any of this. We're sorry for making you listen to all that.
That's right. I would know more about hockey than I would, because I used to watch a lot of hockey. But
I wish Houston would get a hockey team. There we go, Casey again with the Stanley Cup there. If Houston had a hockey team, I'd be all about hockey. We don't have
what about the Houston Arrows?
They were a minor league team. They left like,
I know.
8 years ago. Anyway. Well, cool, y'all. Well, this has been a lot of fun. Covered a lot of stuff. Had a lot of good conversation. I guess we'll wrap it up here.
I do want to say something about this podcast that I was very surprised when you started talking about fantasy football, whenever it came up in like the first season with one of your guests. When I started listening to this podcast, I was expecting it to be hosted by someone who might be a character on The Big Bang Theory.
I have very eclectic interests, okay? I'm not a stereotype, all right?
As I say, don't give into that stereotype.
No. I actually, that's the problem with The Big Bang Theory. It perpetrates stereotypes about people who are into this kind of thing, Casey. So it now really you know. Oh, man. All right, guys. Well, it's been a fun conversation here tonight on this 33-1. Let's go around the table and tell everybody where they can find you online. Dallas, let's start with you.
Dallas Hernandez, always lurking around the Always Hold On to Smallville Facebook page.
All right. What about you, Chris?
Twitter at CRFuke7.
Very good. What about you, Casey?
Casey Cochran 53 on Twitter, and I'm a top fan on your Always Hold On to Smallville page.
Oh, is that so?
Hey, me too.
I don't know how that gets decided. I know I didn't assign you a top fan, Casey, so don't take it personally. I don't know. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? You get these, whatever group you're in, like, you're a top fan. Am I a top fan? Sure. Okay.
I
but
think
yes.
It's based on activity. If you like posts and you're...
Casey, print that out and put it on your wall with pride, my friend. You are a top fan. So.
I lost that for about 3 weeks, and I was very upset.
Are you back? Are you a top fan again, Dallas?
Yes, I'm back.
I think he
very
is.
Good. Very good. All right, Lex, what about you, man?
Just Instagram for me, LexPrime89, one word.
Very good, very good. And what about you, Joey?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at JoeyD94_13.
All right, guys, a lot of fun talking to y'all on 33.1 yet again. If you heard this and want to be part of this conversation, you can go to patreon.com/alwaysmallville1s and join the level 33.1 tier. Also, me, I'm Moron Zach on Twitter. The podcast is Always Smallville with 1S on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook at Always Hold On Smallville. You can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com once again with 1S. We'll be back next time. And until then,
always hold on to Smallville.
Smallville.
That wasn't great. That was not great.
Come join us. It's a lot of fun.
Always Hold On to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Chris Fuchs, Kevonte Chillis, Casey Cochran, James Bandini II, Darren Kirsch, Lex Ledger, Joey Deanberg, JJ Hodges, Nathan McKenzie, Tim Miller, Thomas Navin, Joe McIndoe, Steve Rogers, John Curcio, Atif Sheik, Molly Figuerella, Trayvon Brady, Mike Franz, Dylan D'Antonio, Mariana Sachi, Rachel Miller, Andrew Parker, James Lee, Jonathan England, Adam Sullins, Joe Michael, Nathan Rothatcher, Zachary Burkhalter, DJ Duena, Corey Moore, Dallas Hernandez, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Eddie Bissell, Jim Thomas, Nicholas Fanzler, Catherine Caldwell, Will Hunt, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Coso, Jerry Gibbs, Erica Flynn, Anthony Anderson, Jasmine Magelli, and Keith Falls. Thank you so much to all these patrons, and you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville1s. Hope to see you there. All right, guys. Well, a lot of fun. We'll be back next time talking about anything you guys want to talk about, because that's the whole point of Level 33.1. If you had a great time listening to this and want to be part of the conversation, go to Always Malvin. No, mother.
Wow.
Frustrated. Sorry.
You should bleep that and then put it at the end.
I probably will.